So I want you to turn with me to Psalm 1. The first Psalm, Psalm 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. We're going to look at a couple of things here that I believe will be a blessing to us. And I'm going to speak to the men because this is Father's Day. And like I said, but the principles that we're going to bring out are going to help us all if we'll listen to the Word of God. Psalm 1, verse 1, David begins by saying, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Hallelujah. Now, that's good information for all of us. Amen? Amen? Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want everything that I put my hand to be successful. Hallelujah. And he says, his leaf shall not wither. That means that even whenever there's drought, if you'll do what David is saying, you'll still prosper. You'll be successful right through the struggle. Notice that he gives his instruction here in verse 1. Blessed is the man. So let's talk to the men. But ladies, you can get in on this too, because, you know, you can get blessed too by doing this. Notice he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, that word counsel there means not following their advice, their plans, or purposes. I'm not going to let the ungodly determine how I live. Amen. You can't get blessed if you're letting the world tell you what your attitude should be, what your plan should be, what your purposes should be. Amen. So I'm not going to walk in their counsel. I'm not going to let the ungodly counsel me and show me how I'm supposed to handle things. Then he says this, nor stands in the path of sinners. Well, that just means simply that you don't stand submissive and inactive in a sinful world. Amen. See, sometimes to not let your light shine is worse than putting out darkness. And we as men, godly men, need to stand up today and say, you know what? I'm not going to just stand by idly while the world is full of sin and destruction and not say anything or be a light shining in the world. Amen? So he says you just can't stand by inactive in the path of sin. You see all this sin going on around you, and you just act like it's not there. He says you can't get blessed if you do that. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Well, you know, I looked up the word scornful. It means to scoff or to mock. In other words, he says you can't have this smart aleck attitude where you're constantly criticizing everybody. Amen? That's the world's way. So he says you can't let the world counsel you on how you're supposed to have an attitude, how you're to conduct yourself, your plans, or your purposes. And you can't just sit by idly in the path of sinners and just go along with sin, because if you're just going along with sin, you're as bad as the ones doing the sin. And then he says you can't walk around, you know, with an attitude that's negative and all the time, you know, scoffing at people, all the time putting them down, correcting them, always being, you know, an agitator. He says you can't get blessed if you do that. I looked this word up also. I thought this was a fun translation of verse 1. The Message Bible says this in verse 1. How well God must like you. You don't hang out at Sin Saloon. I like that. You don't slink along Dead End Road. And you don't go to Smart Mouth College. Amen. Hallelujah. I thought that was a pretty good one. That makes it plain, doesn't it? Amen. It kind of brings it up to where we can understand what he's talking about. In other words, you know, you can't act like the world, get in on the blessing of God. So what's he say to do to change it? If you want to be a blessed man, blessed woman, he says this, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, delight means cheerful, joyful, happy, enjoyable. Amen. In other words, I don't look at the word as a must thing I have to do and something I just have to make myself. I look at it as something I get to do, praise God. I delight in the word. I enjoy reading the word. I enjoy doing what God says. I receive it with joy in my heart. He goes on and he says this, and in his law he meditates day and night. What's that mean? That means I'm a full-time Christian. Amen. Day and night, I mean, that means that you're meditating. What's that mean? To ponder. The word meditate there means to ponder, to talk to oneself. In other words, he's saying this. He's saying you're reminding yourself all the time that Jesus is your Lord and you live the word life. Amen. And you delight. I'm not doing it. Oh, God, I got to get in the word today so I won't go to hell. No. I'm going to get in the word today because I want to be blessed. Praise God. I'm going to get in the word today to remind myself when the scoffers start talking that they don't have anything into me. I'm going to get in the word, meditate in the word, and talk to myself in the word, and delight in the word, and delight in the Lord today to remind myself that when the ungodly starts telling me I wouldn't put up with that, or I wouldn't do that, or you should act this way, I'm not going to let it come up near me. I'm not going to let that touch me. Amen? Why? Because I choose to be a blessed man. I want to be a blessed man. I don't want to be a person that's out here struggling. I want to be a blessed man, praise God. And notice he goes on and he says this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his seed. I want to be fruitful and productive. How about you? Anybody here besides me want to have success in your life? Come on. Hallelujah. Everybody should have a hand up. If not, we're going to have a prayer call here for backsliders. Amen. You ought to have done in your heart. Well, I'm a Christian. I don't believe you ought to just try to be, you know, successful and blessed all the time. Well, you don't have the nature of God in you because God is successful and blessed all the time. You know, the Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What's that mean? That means God is always happy. God is always successful. You ever seen God do anything that wasn't successful? Huh? I mean, even when man tried to mess it up, he sent his son and got successful again. Hallelujah. And so God believes in success. And so God wants you and me to be successful. And he tells us exactly how to do it. He says, you can't let the world determine who you are. Get in the word and let the word determine who you are. And if you will, you'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of living water. In other words, there'll constantly be God's source of supply coming into you. And he says, your leaf will not wither. Why? Because you're planted by the river. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm right there connected to the source. And he says, and whatever he does will prosper. I want to be successful. I want to prosper in life. Amen. I want to be successful in my walk with God. I want to be a successful man. I'm going to speak to you men. We ought to be manly men that are godly men. And we ought to be manly men that are godly and successful in this life. There's nothing wrong. There's a great attack from all the world against manhood right now. Come on. I mean, you know, Hollywood wants to gild every man there is out there. And you know, just go ahead and get rid of, you know, anything that resembles. If you act like a man today, you must be some kind of a monster. And men, I'm going to tell you something. You need to rise up. You can be a manly man and not be a monster. You can be a manly man and be godly and be blessed and people want to be around you. Hallelujah. And you see, this is what the Lord is doing. He's wanting to raise up men who are blessed, who know how to listen to God, how to walk with God, how to be a blessing, and how to be productive and fruitful in all they put their hands to. Praise God. Amen. Now, let's go over to Psalm 25. Let's look over here real quickly. The 25th Psalm, David brings out some more good things. Look down here in verse 12. The entire psalm is great, but let's just read a few verses here. Verse 12 says, who is the man that fears the Lord? That's a question. Are there any men who fear the Lord? That word fear means to reverence. Did you hear me? It means to show respect for. Hallelujah. He says, him shall he teach the way he chooses. In other words, if you have respect and reverence for the Lord will teach you the way you should go. Amen? God will show you the life he's chosen for you. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. Ooh, I like that. There's prosperity again. Amen? Because I'm showing reverence and respect and surrendering my life to the Lord, he's going to teach me and show me the way I'm to go, and I'm going to prosper again. Notice what he says else. And his descendants, his children, shall inherit the earth. In other words, I'm going to be a blessing to my family if I learn how to walk as a godly man and a blessed man. Amen? And the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Hallelujah. What's that mean? God will reveal to you your rights and privileges as a child of God if you'll fear and reverence him. Amen? The Amplified brings it out a little bit different and just gives it, makes it a little clearer. He says, "Who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord?" Hallelujah. See, now that's a question. Notice that? See the question mark there? Who is the man who reverently fears and worships the Lord? In other words, that's a choice you have to make. God's not going to force you to do that, man. Amen. He's asking, who's going to do that for me? Hallelujah. And here's what he says for those who will do it. Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose. In other words, he's going to show you how to make good choices in life. Amen. Then he says this, he himself shall dwell at ease, and his offspring shall inherit the land. Praise God. You know, dads, we're a great influence to our kids. And we need to realize that and understand that and walk holy before them. Praise God. The secret of the sweet, satisfying companionship of the Lord have they who fear, revere, and worship him. And he will show them his covenant and reveal to them its deep inner meaning. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I surely, surely, surely enjoy the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I just love it whenever I get to ministering to the Lord and I'm praying and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost begins to open up things to me and speak things to me and God begins to commune with me and all of a sudden I realize that I'm connected to the Creator of everything that you can think of. Amen. You see, I heard Bishop Jake say this. He said, you need to understand something, that God was God before there was an angel that worshiped him. That God was God before there was any earth to be made. God was God before you ever showed up. Amen? God is God and always has been God. Hallelujah. Used to be an old song we sang. Praise God. And we need to get a hold of that. And when we begin to reverence him and worship him and love him, God all of a sudden begins to speak into our life and begins to develop us. And all of a sudden, we're not living by the counsel of the ungodly anymore. We're not acting like the world. We're not full of criticism. And we're not critical and quick to reproach somebody because we disagree with them. But the love of God begins to work in our lives. And all of a sudden, instead of being somebody that's just barely getting along, we find ourselves like a tree planted by the rivers of God's living water. And that living water begins to come into us and upon us, and we begin to produce fruit even when it's tough times around us. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 22:30 says over there that God is seeking for those who will stand in the gap before him and make up the man. But notice he says, I sought for a man among them. You know what God is doing today? He's seeking some men. He's needing some godly men. He needs men who will put him first. He needs men who will reverence him. He needs men who will be godly men, godly husbands, godly workers, godly citizens, godly examples to the world. Amen. Did you ever read over in John chapter 1? It says there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was sent to bear witness of the light. He realized he wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light that was to come in all the world. You know, God sent a man to prepare the way for his son. Hallelujah. And so on this Father's Day, my encouragement is this. Every man under the sound of my voice, we should set ourselves to be godly, blessed men who are honoring God, revering God, worshiping God, meditating in God, refusing the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not going to treat my wife like the world tells me I'm supposed to treat her. I'm not going to raise my kids the way the world tells me I should raise my kids. I'm not going to go here and act on the job like the world tells me I should act on the job. I'm not going to go out here and be critical of everybody that I disagree with. I'm going to meditate in the Word. I'm going to find out who I am in Jesus. I'm going to love Him, and He's going to show me the path I'm to choose instead of the world showing me the path I'm to choose. Come on. And God is seeking us to rise up in this hour and do this. You know, I want you to go over to Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter. We have a great example of a godly, blessed man right here in the Gospels. Hallelujah. You know, Mary, the Virgin Mary, she gets great credit and great teaching and great things, and she deserves it. She was a holy woman of God. She was the one that God chose to bring his son into the world. But you know, she was married, and she had a husband. And you know, Joseph, her husband, was the man that God chose to raise his son into manhood. Mary is the woman that God chose to birth his son into the world, and Joseph is the man that he chose to be a dad and a mentor to his son to raise him to manhood. So Joseph had a pretty important part in this too. Amen. Come on, man. That should have been your hallelujah. Amen. Come on. Praise God. So we men also have a pretty important part in things that are going on in the scheme and the plan of God. Isn't that right? And we need to take our place. And we need to be men of character. We need to be men of integrity. We need to be men that are godly before the Lord. And so here in looking at Joseph, I found seven characteristics that caused him to be blessed. Seven things that were operating in Joseph's life that should be operating in our lives. In Matthew chapter 1, we have the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find several of these characteristics here in this first chapter. In Matthew 1:18, it says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly." Now, all of a sudden, we see some real tests coming up. This is a marriage that's been set, and Joseph is now engaged to Mary, and the wedding date is planned, and Mary comes to Joseph and says, "Oh, by the way, I'm pregnant." And Joseph goes, "I know it ain't mine." Now, okay, Joseph is now faced with a real decision on how he's going to respond. Okay? Joseph shows us here that he's a man of character, a man of integrity, and a man of compassion. Why? Because when Mary shows up and tells him she's pregnant, Joseph does the right thing to look out for her best of interest before God, and he chooses to do something that will bless her as well as take care of the situation. He doesn't operate as a scornful man. He doesn't operate in the counsel of the ungodly. And that is what? Make a public example of her. Get mad. Go ahead and cuss her out. Let her know what you think of her. Come on, he's a man just like we are, but this is a man. This is a man God chose. And listen, if I'm going to be the man God's going to choose to stand in the gap and make up the head, I'm going to have to walk after the counsel of God, not the counsel of the ungodly. I'm going to have to learn how to respond the way God wants me to respond and not the way the world tells me to respond. So instead of making a public example of her and going out in his macho-ness and being a monster, he is a godly man and chooses to just do it secretly, disengage, and let her go so that it doesn't bring shame to her and he'll go off and live his life. He says, "You know what? I don't want to hurt her." Now, you know he's feeling all kinds of emotions. How many of you know that his mind is being hit with a million thoughts a second? See, a lot of times we read about these Bible people and we think they're superheroes that never had a problem. But they're tempted, tested, and tried and go through the same emotions and have the same devil attacking their minds that we have attacking ours. And so Joseph right now has to make a decision when Mary comes to him with this wild, "I'm pregnant, but it was God. God made me pregnant." Uh-huh. "And God just made me king of Israel." Okay. You see the problem now, the situation that's risen. And what does Joseph do? Joseph, instead of jumping out there and responding in the flesh, chooses to act from his walk with God. And he says, "You know what? Hurting her and getting back at her and scoffing her and scorning her and acting ungodly is not going to do her or me any good. So I'm going to deal with this. I'm going to step back and deal with this. I'm going to try to do it right." Second thing we find is this. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, second characteristic of Joseph. Number one, he had character, godly character and integrity, and he moved with compassion and love. Number two, he's a man of wisdom. Why? Because before he did anything, he thought it. He stopped and thought it through. How many of us would have been better off if we'd have just stopped and thought about what we need to do before we jumped out and said something? See, this is the truth that all of us can embrace. All of us are going to be faced with situations where your flesh is going to just want to jump right in and get back at them. It's that moment that you cannot walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinner, and walk in with the scornful. That's where you have to make a decision. I have to walk with God in this. What would the Lord have me to do? And so instead of just jumping out, Joseph stepped back and said, yeah, I need to think about this. What can I do? My flesh wants to choke her. Really? Come on. Wouldn't you? Sure. But he steps back and thinks, something down here is telling me, I tell you what, instead of making this worse, I'm just going to deal with it this way. I'm just going to slide out of this thing and let her go with her family, and I'll just go back, and we'll just deal with it that way, and that way nobody gets hurt. That's wisdom, isn't it? So he's a man of wisdom. So the second thing is he's a man of wisdom who thinks before he acts. The third one is found down here. As we read on, he says this. Let's read verses 20 and 21 again. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Whoa, glory to God. While he's standing there thinking about this, God speaks to him. So number one, he's a man of character. Number two, he's a man of wisdom. Number three, he's a spiritual man, because now he's listening for God to show him what to do. That's good, isn't it? I mean, he is totally putting this in the hands of God. He must have read Psalm 1. He must have been delighting in the Lord and meditating in his word day and night, so that whenever the rough time came, his leaf doesn't wither and he doesn't fail the test that is being presented to him right now. Come on, church, you understand what's going on? Joseph is being tested right now, and he's standing there as a tree planted by the rivers of water, walking in the steps that God has told him to choose so that he doesn't fail this test. And folks, if we learn these principles, we won't fail the tests either. Amen? And for you to get to the next level, guess what? You got to pass the test. Amen. We have no fifth graders in here today that will be sixth graders next year that didn't pass the test in the fifth grade this year. You have to get through these things if you're going to prosper. So he's a spiritual man. He's hearing from God. Amen. Now let's look in verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took him his wife. What's the fourth step? Joseph was a doer of God's word. He's a doer of the word. Once he got the instruction from God, it didn't matter what the circumstances look like. It don't matter what feelings look like. It don't matter what his mind's telling him. It don't look how crazy it is, how wild and wide-eyed and, you know, oh my God, she's pregnant with the Son of God. Am I hearing God? Is God speaking this to me? And he had such a walk with the Lord that he accepts that. And then not only does he accept God talking to him, he acts upon what God tells him to do. See, it's one thing to hear the voice of God, but it's a total separate thing to do what the voice of God tells you to do. Amen? And you're not going to get blessed just hearing from God. You get blessed when you do what God tells you to do. So number one, he's a man of character and integrity and compassion. Number two, he's a man of wisdom. Number three, he's spiritual. He's seeking God. Number four, he hears God and he acts upon what God says him to do. He's a doer of the word. And look down here in verse 25. And he did not know her till he had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus, just like the angel told. You know, it was Joseph that named Jesus. Mary didn't name Jesus. Joseph named Jesus. Jesus' name was given to Joseph. Hallelujah. That's a blessed man. That's a godly man. God is using him in the midst of all this too. And God is working in his life. And God is blessing him as they do these things. Amen? Now, let's look at the next one. It's found over here in Matthew chapter 2. Your fifth thing is found here in Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Listen to what happens. Now, when they had departed, this is after the birth of Jesus and after the wise men had left and everything. It says down here in verse 13, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed to Egypt. What's the fifth thing that Joseph was? Joseph took the lead as provider and protector of his home. He took the spiritual lead. He became a spiritual priest over his home. Yes, Mary is the virgin. Yes, Mary is the Holy One. Yes, Mary is the woman that found favor. Yes, Mary is the one that Jesus came through her loins and came into this world. Yes, she is precious and to be revered. But look at the man that God chose to protect her and help her to bring the Son of God into the world. And Joseph hears, and he acts upon this, and he begins to take the authority, and he begins to take the lead. I want to tell you something, men. One of the problems in this country right now is men will not step up and take the lead and be the man of God and the example and the protector and provider that we're called of God to be. And that's not a slight to women. I know that we have a different society today. But I want to tell you what. I still believe that men should be men, and women would be glad. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. And God is calling us to stir ourselves, to step out and take that lead and to take responsibility and be that one who is there to do his will and to take care of the home. Amen. Let's look at the next one down here. Let's look at number 6. It's found in verses 19 through 21. After all this is done, they go down to Egypt, and then, you know, remember the angel said, go there and stay until I come and tell you. I'll bring you news when it's time to come back. Notice here in verse 19, now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. Now, what's the sixth thing? Joseph stayed consistent. He wasn't just spiritual in the beginning of the relationship. He's spiritual later on. He's still hearing from God. You see, being a Christian is not just coming to the altar, getting the sins off, and celebrating for a week or two that you're saved, and then begin to drift back into the world. Being a Christian is a commitment that every day you meditate in the Word and delight in the law of God, and you follow the Lord, and you let Him, and you revere Him and fear Him and worship Him, and you let Him teach you His covenant, and you let Him call upon you. And when He needs you to do something, you say, here am I, Lord, and you stand in the gap, and you make up the hedge, and you stand as a man of God, and you do what God told you to do, and you walk with godly character and godly integrity and godly compassion, and you're not scornful and critical over everything around you, but you're compassionate, and you're there to help and not be a part of the problem, and you're there to bring solutions and not questions, and so therefore you operate, and then you operate in wisdom because you think before you talk, you think before you respond, you think and dig down deep and start listening to what God has to say to you, praise God, and then you are spiritual. You deal with it from a spiritual standpoint, not the natural standpoint. You hear from God in your heart. I'm not going to act on my flesh. I'm not going to let my flesh determine how I'm going to deal with this situation. I'm going to hear from God. And once I hear from God, I'm going to be a doer of that word. I'm going to act like I heard from God. I'm going to have confidence in my faith. I'm going to have confidence in my ability to hear the voice of God. I'm going to prove it out with the word. That's why I delight in the word day and night. So when God talks to me, I know it's God talking to me, because the Spirit and the word always agree. God's not going to tell me something that I can't find in the word. And so therefore, I'm going to do that, praise God. And then you know what I'm going to do is I'm being a doer of the word. I'm going to step up, praise God, and I'm going to be the man. Hallelujah. And you come and see me a year from now, I'm going to still be the man because I'm still listening to God. I'm not going to act until God tells me to act again. Joseph went right down there and stayed there until God told him to move. And then he goes in head and jumps up and goes back home. That's pretty strong, isn't it? No wonder God chose this man. And you know what? If we'll apply these things in our life, God will choose us. These are godly characteristics that we all, men and women, can put in their lives. We can all walk in character and integrity. We can all hear from God. We can all think before we respond. We can all be led by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We can all choose to respond in love and not, you know, scorn. And we can all choose to hear from God and be doers of His Word. But lest we men stand here and say, oh my God, this man's so perfect, I can never live up to that. Let me show you a flaw. Hallelujah. Look in Luke chapter 2. Thank God, hallelujah, for Luke chapter 2. Amen. Because when I'm studying this out, I'm thinking, oh Lord, how could we ever live the Joseph life and be a blessed man like him? How could we be that perfect? And the Lord said, well, he's not all that perfect. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 2, you know, we have the story of Jesus, and Jesus is about 12 years old now, okay? And let's pick it up here in verse 41. And now Joseph and Mary, they're still being spiritual. I mean, they don't just go to church on the Sabbath, they go to special events. Hint, hint, hallelujah. Come on. I mean, they went to feast days as well as every Sabbath day. Are you hearing me? Revival, seminars, special events. They took their kids and went to church. Amen. It's there. Once again, we can follow those examples. But now look what he says in verse 41. Verse 40 says, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. In other words, Joseph and Mary are doing a good job raising Jesus up. Now, he is the Son of God, yes, but still, he has to grow and develop just like everybody else because he laid aside, Paul said to the Philippians, that Jesus laid aside his eternal glory and became flesh and blood and came and dwelt as us. Amen? And so Jesus is growing just like us. He has to be mentored just like we have to be mentored. And it says this, his parents, notice that, plural, his parents, Joseph and Mary, went to Jerusalem every year, every winter seminar. The pastor put on, they went every year. Hallelujah. Not just Sunday morning. Let's get back on track. Praise God. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days of as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. Notice it doesn't say the Son of God. It says the boy Jesus. Because he was human just like we are and dealt with human things just like we do. Amen? Now let's read on. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. Whoa! They got these other kids and they got a family and they're all caravanning back to Nazareth. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among the relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now you think about it. Here's this man who's had dreams and visions, walks and makes great decisions, and he is a day journey. I mean, they've traveled a full day, and he's gone, one of them's missing. Oh my God, it's Jesus. Where is that boy? And so he says, Mary, have you seen Jesus? No, I thought he was with you. He ain't been with me. He's a mama's boy. He's always around you. You go check those out, and I'll go this way, and he's got to be here somewhere. And so they go, and they come back, and they say, oh, my God, he ain't anywhere. We left him in Jerusalem. Amen. Thank you, Joseph. Hallelujah. He is not perfect. Amen. You know, you can have all these great things, and you can walk with God, and you can still make a mistake. Huh? So what did they do? Well, let's keep reading. Now, it was so that after 3 days, they go back and take some. They're all over the city of Jerusalem. 3 days. What do you think their attitude is about now? Took them a day to get back, though. So it's been 4 days, okay? They went a day. They went back a day. That's two. Now they've been 3 days. So it's been 5 days since they've seen their boy. Okay? Now it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Verse 48, so when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously. Now, that's good. Sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? Let me read it to you in another translation so it brings it. Now think, dad and mom, 12-year-old, okay? 5 days, day journey, day back, and 3 days. They've been scouring the city. They finally show up at church, and there he sits talking with these guys. And he walks in, and he looks like, hey, Dad, hey, Mom. Like, it's okay. Message Bible, verse 48. But his parents were not impressed. They were upset and hurt. His mother said, young man, now you know you're in trouble when mom says, young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you. It was not a spiritual event. And you know what? This brings me to my last thing. Not only was Joseph not perfect, but you got to go back. Two, he was a man of wisdom. Why? Because Joseph doesn't say a thing. He lets mama say it. Because Joseph wants to kill him. And Joseph is going, you don't want to hear what I got to say to you. Huh? Come on. Daddy's like, I have passed the boiling temperature. In fact, I've already boiled all the water out and I'm dry. There ain't no more steam. It's just mean. Hallelujah. I'll take you out behind this church and show you what it means. I got to be about my father's business. Come on, dads. Am I talking to you? Come on. Now we're relating to Joseph now, aren't we, huh? Come on. But you know what he did? He said, instead of Joseph losing it, he just got quiet. But I bet you there was a look there that the Lord never forgotten. Amen? Because he was wise enough to know, you know what? I'm not right now in a good place to be able to correct you. Mary, it's your boy. You got to read it again. I got to read verse 48 again. But his parents were not impressed. Think of it. It's been 5 days. They've been looking for this boy for 3 days since they got back. And they were upset and hurt. And his mother said, young man, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been half out of our minds looking for you. And you know, they were. They were. Sure, he's the Son of God. Yes, it was a miraculous conception. Yes, it was a supernatural birth. And yes, they saw the angels. Yes, they heard from God. Yes, the shepherds came in. Yes, the wise men gave him gifts. Yes, the angels appeared to him. Yes, all of this, but he's still a 12-year-old boy, and they were upset that he didn't go home with them. But thank God they took care of it. You know what happened when he made a mistake and they left their kid back at town? They took care of making sure the other kids were safe, and they went back and were responsible and found him to make sure he was okay. Listen, dads, if you've ever made a mistake, don't live the rest of your life condemning yourself over a mistake. Even Joseph made a mistake. We have all made mistakes. You know what you do? Well, I don't have a relationship. Go make a relationship. If there's hurts, go heal the hurts. I don't know how the response would be. Don't worry about the response. You do what's right. Let's live this thing. Amen. Let's be men that are blessed because we delight in the Lord, because we walk in godly character, because we think before we speak, and we listen to hear from God before we act. And then once we know that we've heard from God, we act upon that. And even when we make a mistake, you know what we do? Instead of blaming everybody else, we go and take care of it and just deal with it. And you know what the Bible says as you finish out here with them? Verse 51 says, then he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Notice he went down and subjected himself to his mom and dad. In other words, Jesus said, you're right, Dad. You're right, Mom. I'm sorry. I should have not done that. And he submitted them to him. Why? Because they loved him. They corrected him, but they loved him all through the process. Amen? And this is what God is. God gives us real answers to real problems so that we can get real victories in the midst of real tests. And the key to walking in this blessing is to not let the counsel of the ungodly determine how you're going to deal with things. Not to stand in the way of sinners and just well, it's sin, it's okay. And not to have a critical attitude about everything. But to delight in the Lord, put Jesus first, be led by the Spirit, and walk in the wisdom that God has given us. And God says, if you'll love me and reverence me and fear me, I'll develop these characteristics in you, and you'll be a blessed man. Amen? And that's what God is looking for. He's looking to bless us throughout all of our life. All he's looking for is us to surrender to him. Amen?